Turn with me tonight in the New Testament to a verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll ask the Lord to speak to us and have His will, His way in this service. Let's stand for the reading of the Scripture, if you will. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, and give you a chance to stretch, and I won't draw attention again to lengthy preaching tonight. Just however the Lord leads us, we'll try to go with that. Amen. But stretch and show respect to the word of the Lord. Just a few collected verses here, starting in verse number 7. It's an interesting train of thought here. So as we move through these various train cars, try to see how they are all connected together. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's enough right there to preach on for a whole week revival. Amen. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom you may devour. Seems like we just entered into a completely different car there, doesn't it? But I believe they're connected. Casting your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And all of the church say amen. Praise God. Before you're seated, though, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for these words that we have read together. We know that they are already anointed by the Holy Ghost. We pray that you would grant to us understanding tonight, Lord, and that you would enable us to hear what it is that the Spirit would say to us and cause all of us to draw closer to you, Lord, to receive the help and grace that you're offering to us tonight. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. Amen. And once again, everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to preach to you tonight with the Lord's help, sort of a follow-up message from this morning. If you remember, as we preached to you on coming home to the house of God, we told you that God's house, or tried anyways to remind you that God's house is a house of seven G's, really. But I emphasized three of them. And God's house is a house of goodness. And God's house is a house of generosity. And do you remember what the third one was? God's house is a house of grace. Amen. And I'd like to pick up on that idea of grace. It's mentioned here in verse number 10. But the God of all grace, the God of all grace, amen, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'd like to preach with the Lord's help tonight on embrace grace. I hope that that is my that's more than my title. It is my sincere admonition to you tonight. My sincere and serious admonition to you. Embrace grace. We need the grace of God. And I hope that as we move along here, we'll see that the grace of God is not intended to be a one-time event, an experience that we enjoyed several years ago, and so that now we are in grace, we don't have to make any more effort in that. I believe that God wants us both then and now to embrace His grace. Amen. We need the grace of God. And as I preach to you tonight about embracing grace, I'm also going to be walking a balance beam of sorts. And I want to be careful here, because I want this to be a positive message. And that's the goal of mine, is to get to the positive force and power of God's grace and encourage you to embrace it for all that it means to us and how much we need of His grace. But it's also the title of this message is born out of a series of events that happened to me over the last several months, especially dating back to the beginnings of this pandemic that we really don't want to keep talking about. But I'll bring it up tonight because of how I felt like the Lord was speaking to me. Brother Jarvis mentioned how he also had questions, calling out to the Lord, seeking understanding about what it is that God is doing in this hour, and trying to understand it all. And to be honest with you, in my listening to an answer, I felt like the Lord spoke to me in these little tidbits, these little bites of truth wrapped around words that were rhyming words. So for whatever reason, these rhyming words came to me at various phases of the last several months. In my early days of praying about what in the world was going on, and we were all fighting the fear factor of things happening. I was involved with a text group of evangelists, a group of 10 evangelists. I admittedly, the oldest of the 10, were just texting one another. How's it going? You know, what's happening in your world? Everybody was saying canceled, canceled, canceled. You know, the churches were not having revivals, barely able to have church. There were just, you know, no special events going on. Evangelists were trying to make sense of where we fit into this present paradigm. And then, you know, following what was going on, sickness and all of the news and all of those things. And in the early days of that, I felt like I heard the Lord say, brace yourself. Brace yourself. Brace became the first of several rhyming words. And so I felt like it was important for me, and I think for others, to know that God was wanting us to get prepared for impact, that it was going to impact us, and that we needed to brace ourselves, prepare ourselves, and be ready for the fallout of the things that were happening around about us. And so here's my balance beam act tonight, because I want to bring this word up to you and tell you that I think that we are not done yet. We are still dealing with a lot of things that are related with this sickness and pandemic. And so I still admonish you tonight, as I felt the Lord speak to me, brace yourself and stay alert, be sober, be vigilant. And remember and realize that we have a real adversary. Above it all is the devil. He is our arch enemy. He's doing everything he can to distract, to discourage, to destroy, to disrupt, and all of those things that we've been struggling with and having church and all of that. And we all want it to just clear up and go away and get better. But now here come the political issues that are all tied to it. There are economic impacts of these last several months that are just now beginning to show up. I don't want to preach gloom and doom. I don't want to preach to you fear. But I do believe that it is important for us to brace ourselves for the things that are happening around about us. Don't let it catch us unprepared and unaware. We have been warned throughout the scripture, many places. Jesus, the famous prophetic chapter of Matthew, chapter 24, where Jesus himself prophesies to us. The Lord himself tells us the things that are going to happen in the last days. And he lists a whole long list. And he said, and these are only the beginning of sorrows. And then he says, behold, I have told you. Underline that verse in your Bible, as I have. Circle it. Behold, I have told you. Why did he tell us? He wants us to be prepared and not caught off guard. Brace ourselves. Don't let it catch you off guard. Amen. Then sometime afterwards, as this thing was dragging on and on, and we were trying to figure out, when are we going to get back on the road? When do we start opening up? Some churches were, many were not. We're, you know, still trying to make sense of it all. Then the second rhyming word came to me, pace. Amen. Pace yourself. He that endures to the end shall be saved, the Lord said. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Amen. This is not a race that's won in a few seconds. The one who runs the fastest is the winner. Amen. It's the one who lasts. It's the one who persists. It's the one who endures to the end that shall be saved. I know you don't want to think about that, but the matter of endurance is important to the children of God. And all through history, we know that the saints have suffered. And the Bible tells us here again, Peter says to cast all of your care upon him, and remember, he cares for you. But then later on he said that verse number 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Other people are going through the same thing. They are suffering through the same troubles and the same trials. Don't take this as a personal affront that God's forgotten you or abandoned you or left you alone. Others are sick. Others are suffering. Others are going through troubles and trials and adversities. And friends, here in America, we need to remember that across the world, there's a church that is suffering persecution on a daily basis. They have it very hard. We need to remind ourselves, amen, that this race requires a pace. We've got to understand that it may not be over in a snap of a finger or a few moments or a few days or a few weeks. And the normal that we all crave, it may never come back to us. If it doesn't, what are you going to do then? I say that you need to set your affection on things above and not on the things of this earth. And make up your mind that you're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. You're not going back. Because he that endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. So pace yourself and not get so anxious. And listen to me. This was the word that came to me. I'm just sharing it with you because I believe that God was telling me, Mike, don't get all anxious and all in a hurry and all in a dither and all in a worry. Amen. Pace yourself and hold on and hang on and don't give up and don't quit. One scripture that came to us continuously, LaDonna and I both, in fact, we've got a little framed verse up on a shelf in our living room, be still and know that I am God. That's a hard one, isn't it, church? But how many times in the middle of our storm, in the middle of our trial, in our struggle, in our trouble, and we get all fearful and afraid, and then the Lord says, be still and know that I am God. Just settle down and know that I am working here in ways that you don't know yet. I am doing things that you don't understand yet. I am God. You are not. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. Pace yourself. And remember, amen, that this may not be cured in a moment. Y'all with me so far? Amen. The next rhyming word is face yourself. Amen. Not just brace yourself and pace yourself, but face yourself. This is, amen, a matter of using the Word of God as the mirror that reveals who we really are. I need to take a long, hard, regular, personal, daily look into the mirror and find out who I am, what I am, where I am, amen, and deal with the things that I see. This is not a time for playing games. This is not a time for just, you know, pandering it away and not dealing with the issues of my own heart and my own life, church. It's time for us to toughen up. It's time for us to be stronger than what we are in our own strength. We need help and grace from God, amen, to get through this. And we need to face the facts of a changing world all around about us, amen, and a God who never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to face the fact that He is dealing with us, calling us. He is working in our life, as we're going to see here in just a moment. If I ever transition to the heart of this message on grace, this is just my introduction. I'm just trying to put together the segments that lead up here to my rhyming title of this message. So this is what I feel like the Lord has been speaking to me. Brace, pace, face. Amen. When I thought that things were going to be improving, getting better, and in a lot of ways they have, but we know that our world is dealing with some very disturbing issues right now on every level, military, politics, economics, amen, the medical world, every level, even in the church world. There are some churches that closed their doors during the pandemic and will never reopen. Amen. They will never reopen. And some of the pollsters have shown the statistics of that sad reality. I'm glad you're here tonight on this Sunday night. I'm glad we're having homecoming day today. That doesn't make us better than everybody else, unless it's the fact that we realize our need for Him now more than ever before. And we do need Him now. Amen. Somebody lift your hand and just praise God for His presence here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not one that has really put a lot of stock in dreams through the years, but I have in recent months had some disturbing dreams that I feel like God was speaking to me about. And in my prayer for revival, and I saw on your screen as I came in this evening, you had a call to prayer on Monday nights and praying for awakening and revival. Amen. Do you know that if Joel's prophecy is a twofold prophecy, it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost because Peter quoted it and he said, "This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel." And it was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But in context, the Joel prophecy is an end times prophecy. So it may be twofold. But in that prophecy, he said that in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men shall see visions. Did you hear that? The introduction of the supernatural in the last days as the Spirit of God is being poured out. It may be that we might experience things where God is revealing Himself to us and dealing with us. Praise God. I would love to see young men and young women so full of the Holy Ghost that they're prophesying and being used and the gifts of the Spirit. Would that scare you, or would you be thrilled, amen, at God moving in extraordinary ways? Amen. Somebody said the reason young men see visions and the old men dream dreams is because the old men are always falling asleep. Amen. And there is a difference between dreams and visions. And I think that I've had a couple recently. I'll share with you one wild dream, and I hope that you don't judge me over it. But I'm just going to share it with you because of the way that I feel about it. In the dream, I woke up. I realized that I was on a plane. It was a short, quick dream, but I knew immediately I was on a plane. And standing there in the plane, looking around, I saw that there were several sick people, and the plane was bouncing up and down, and it was not a pretty sight as I looked around at all of the sickness going on. And then I heard a voice come over the speaker, and it was the voice of the captain, and he said, "Please be seated." seated and fasten your seatbelt. We are entering into a time of turbulence. And I woke up from the dream. Amen. Now you can interpret it however you want to. I'm just sharing with you tonight. And at the moment, I'm the guy with the microphone. So hey, I have a little advantage. But Pastor, amen, you set me down. I'll just tell you this. I feel like, and this was fairly recently, that I felt like the Lord told me that we are in a time of turbulence, but not just in it. Amen. We are heading into it. Amen. Friends, we need God now more than ever before. And we need to brace ourselves and pace ourselves and face ourselves and then realize the importance of this final rhyming word, grace. Hallelujah. Amen. And to embrace grace. There's two rhyming words there. We need to get serious about embracing the grace of God, to get a hold of this miraculous, mysterious thing called grace. For in this grace is the substance of all that we need, amen, to survive a time of turbulence. Praise God. Aren't you glad to be saved by grace tonight? Hallelujah. But look here as Peter introduces the idea of grace in verse number 10. But the God of all grace. Hallelujah. The God of all grace. Now this is a tremendous thought here as he introduces grace into this idea of suffering and battles and struggles with the devil and the adversary and us having cares in our life that we need to be casting on the Lord. And he tells us, but the God of all grace, who hath called us, amen, unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, he'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. If you'll take that phrase there where he says make you perfect and simply change that to the word sanctify, amen, he's going to make you perfect, he's going to sanctify you, then we've got a perfect 4-point outline about grace. It's going to be the God of all grace who's going to sanctify you. He's going to establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. And it's all related to the work of grace. Thank God for grace tonight. Amen. I know that at the simplest definition, grace means the unmerited favor of God, the unearned, undeserved favor of God. But we know that there's a lot more to it than that. Amen. To understand that we get the favor of God, the blessing of God, includes a lot of different dimensions. When I told you this morning that God's house is a house of grace, that includes the elements of forgiveness. Amen. Because grace is forgiveness. That our graceful God stands willing to forgive us for all that we've done. The story of the prodigal son, his waste and his rebellion and his living and riotous living, all of that is forgiven when he returns to the Father's house. But it's not just forgiveness, it's acceptance. Welcome home, praise God. It's the Father saying, you can come back to the family, back to the fold. You're accepted, you're loved. That's all contained in the word grace. I'm glad for grace tonight. Praise God. The word grace also implies to us a little bit different connotation than the word mercy. Somebody said, and I agree because I've said it myself, mercy is the idea of not getting the punishment that we deserve. Amen. We've done something wrong. We deserve a punishment. But mercy says, just because I'm merciful, I'm not going to punish you. The idea of mercy. Amen. But grace goes a little bit beyond that. It tells us, amen, that we're going to receive something that we don't deserve. Amen. It's not just we're going to not get what we do deserve. We are going to get what we don't deserve. Do you follow me so far? put it in this little simple idea. A little boy has been acting ornery all day long. He's rebelled. He didn't do what he was told to do. He's been disobedient, and he deserves some punishment. And when dad gets home, boy, is he going to get it. And so they sit down and they have their talk, you know, and the list of all of the things. And a little boy, before it's all done, he's shaking, he's crying, he's fearful. Dad, is he really going to deal with it now? But when dad looks upon his repentance and his tears, he shocks the little boy with this announcement. Son, I'm not going to give you a spanking for all that you've done today. I think that you've realized what you've done, and I'm going to show you mercy, and you're not going to get a spanking. Oh, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. He could see it coming. But then dad says, but to show you what grace is all about, not only am I going to withhold the spanking, but me and you are going to go get an ice cream cone. Amen. You don't deserve that, but grace is going to give it to you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad for the grace of God tonight. The favor, the unmerited favor of God. He's withholding punishment and giving me all that I don't deserve. I'm escaping hell, but I get heaven too. What a wonderful thing it is. He is the God of all grace. In this phrase, we get the idea that, first of all, there are different kinds of grace. Amen. All grace. All kinds of grace. Remember that grace is not just saving grace. The grace that forgives. The grace that accepts us home. The grace that saves us. We are saved by grace. But the Apostle Paul shares with us an experience in his own life. And he said that he was seeking the Lord three times for a trial that he was going through, something he was suffering in his body. He wanted to be healed and delivered. He said, I sought the Lord three times. And the Lord's answer to him was, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. And the Apostle Paul, basically reading between the lines, he said, but Lord, I'm weak and suffering here. And God says, but my strength is made perfect in weakness. And when Paul begins to realize that the grace of God is here to help him get through this suffering in his life, he says, so there now for, I'm going to glory in my afflictions, because when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't know, Brother Jarvis, that I've got to that point yet, but I do understand the concept that when you're going through suffering, you're going through a trouble, you're going through a trial, God has a different kind of grace for that. Not only saving grace, but sustaining grace. Grace that helps us to get through it, praise God. I've been a recipient of that sustaining grace of God. Amen. And then here, I think we're introduced to a sanctifying grace. A grace that helps us to grow closer to God. To be better Christians. To be stronger, more settled. In fact, he uses four related terms here that are interesting, because they all, in their original language, have the idea of carpentry or architectural type terminology. Look at it again, where he says I will make you perfect. This is a carpenter's term for taking a log out of the woods that's been fallen in its rough condition and pulling it out, and he's going to convert it into something useful. But first, he has to take all the bark off of it. He has to let it dry. He has to cut it up into lumber. He has to let it season. And that whole process is making that lumber perfect so that it's going to be usable. It's the sanctifying process that God puts us through to make us better than what we were when he found us in our sinful condition. So he is going to take some bark off. Hello? He is going to do some cleaning in our life. He is going to do a transformation in our life. But then we read here, not only is he going to do that, but he's going to establish you. He's going to fasten you. He's going to fasten you down. He's going to put you in a place where you feel connected and permanent. He said, strengthen you. He's going to fit you together and make you a part of a bigger construction. Amen. This is not just about one log, and it's not just about one board. It's about a carpenter taking all the logs and making all the lumber and putting it all together to make something beautiful. Praise God. I'm looking down at this wood platform, and I can easily see here the veins of this lumber, and I can see that they are all different pieces that have been fastened together. And it's strong enough to support me. That's saying something tonight. Amen. It's strong enough to support me. Not just one board, but all of these being fastened together. And so each of these boards are now part of a bigger picture, a bigger construction. So by the grace of God, amen, we are fit into the plan of God, the work of God, the program of God. Amen. We are nailed down, fastened down. He wants us to be permanently involved in, connected to. Whatever you're doing, Lord, in this season, don't do it without me. I want to be a part of it. Amen. I don't want to just be shifting sand and unpredictable and up and down and in and out. I need the grace of God, amen, to sanctify, to establish, to settle me, amen, and strengthen me. And He has the grace to do that. Praise God. So not only is this phrase showing us that the God of all grace is the God of all kinds of grace, but He is the God who owns all grace. Grace is His idea. Grace is His product. Grace was His manufactured substance. It's His idea. He owns it. Grace does not come from the devil. And if you see grace being demonstrated out there in the world by people who are not even Christians, I believe that it is an example and a testimony to the existence of God. If a judge shows some grace in the courtroom, he didn't just come up with it because he's a nice guy. Amen. It's a manifestation of God's presence in this world. Much like the heavens declare the glory of God, you look up and you can see evidence all around that there is a God that has ordered it all. He has showed to us in the stars and in the heavenlies that there's a great creator of this all. And anybody that's paying attention and looking at the details and facts of creation knows, amen, that there is a God. And whenever you see acts of grace and kindness like that, it is evidence of the existence of God, because He is the God of all grace. Amen. The God of all grace. Praise God. And it is an implication of the amount of grace that He has. And He's got a lot of it. Praise God. He has a lot of grace. He's the God of all grace. Amen. That's why when you read in Corinthians where Paul says that God makes His grace abound to you. Amen. This abounding grace. It has the idea of abundant grace, which means it's a lot. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Lots of it. Good. Supply. Really rich, meaningful life. And it has the idea of there's an abundant supply of grace. Amen. Friends, when you got saved, when I got saved, we did not exhaust the supply. So that means the lost souls that we see around us, about us today, people who are still struggling, amen, some who were here this morning who need to be saved, there's still enough grace available for them. But the abounding grace is also an interesting word, because abounding means continual, as if it's alive and it keeps replacing and replenishing itself. Amen. It's similar word and picture to that lady in the Old Testament Amen. Whose meal barrel had gone empty, and she came to the prophet, and the prophet told her to go and look again. And when she looked, the meal barrel wasted not. Now, there's difference of interpretation of that. Some people believe that the wasting not means that the meal barrel refilled and it stayed full and was always full. It wasted not. I have a tendency to believe that what it means is when she went and looked in the barrel, there was more in there. And she took it out and used it and went and looked the next day and there was more in there. And she went the next day and there was more in there. Amen. I don't know which one is the correct interpretation, but I know this. The God of all grace has abundant grace and He has abounding grace. And He's going to keep replenishing us and keep replenishing us. And when you think you can't make it through this trial, you're going to be surprised when you come out on the other side holding on to the hand of God and realize you didn't just pull yourself through this by sheer determination. It wasn't you strengthening and bullying your way through this problem. You got through this by the grace of God. He had an abounding grace that kept replenishing you, kept supplying you. When you were at your weakest moment, you became strong. When you were empty, there was more in there. Thank God for His abundant, abounding grace tonight. Amen. I believe that God wants us to embrace grace tonight because we're going to need an abounding, abundant supply of it in the day to come, but it's not any more than what we have needed so far in this life. And I don't mean to be repetitive, but I told you this morning my new favorite verse in Amazing Grace is that verse that says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Amen. It was grace that led me safe thus far. And grace is going to lead me home. I need His grace. Thank God He's got it available for me. Because He, my friend, is the God of all grace. And I love Him for it tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Embrace grace. Get a hold of it by the hands full. Amen. Wrap your arms around the grace of God. Take it serious. Have a passion about it. Have a love and appreciation for it. Hold it close to your heart. Realize the value of it. Do not let it get away from you. We need the grace of God. We need to embrace it tonight. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord tonight and thank Him for His grace. You're going to make it, friend. You're going to get through this. Amen. I don't know exactly how it's going to work out, but don't quit now. Don't give up now. Keep embracing and holding on to the grace of God, and He's going to see you through. Hallelujah. Praise God. I had an image come to my mind again today of a story that I'd read and a picture that I saw several years ago. In fact, I think it was 2014 or thereabouts. The story came out in the news of a couple in California whose house was bordered on public land, hiking trails and all of that. And they would often walk out of their house through their yard and out into the woods and then join a trail and go for their daily walk and hike. This particular day, as they were walking through their yard just before getting to the trail, something shiny caught their eye. And they looked down and it got interesting and they looked a little closer and it was a gold coin. It was a solid gold coin. And they looked a little closer and started pushing away the dirt, and there was more of them. And so they dug around a little bit farther and saw that it was an old rusty can. And this can was full of those coins. And they kept digging. And they discovered beside it was another rusty can full of gold coins. And on the other side of it, there was another can rotted away but full of gold coins. All said and done, they found 10 cans full of old, historic gold, solid gold coins. The face value of those coins totaled $28,000. That sounds pretty good to me. But then they had them analyzed, and the historic value and the rise in, you know, inflation value and all of that. The last that I read, that find was valued at over $10 million. They found in their backyard. Praise God. Hey, amen. There were immediately people who wanted to lay claim to it and say that it was theirs. There were court battles fought, but they fought the battles and they held on. They went through it and they held on. And the judges all ruled in their favor. They had found a treasure and it was theirs. Oh, if we could see grace like that tonight. We found a treasure. We found a treasure. I don't want to let the devil talk me out of it. I don't want, amen, somebody to lay claim to it and tell me I can't have any of it. Amen. I know there's enough for you, friend. Amen. But I need the grace that I found. And God has given me an abundant supply of it. And I'm thankful for grace tonight. Listen, Jesus told us, and I'm just about done, Sister Jarvis, if you want to get us some music, I'm just about done. Amen. Jesus told us a similar story. He said that there was a man, amen, that found a treasure buried in a field. And when he did, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Don't you think his neighbors thought he was crazy when he put his house on the market and sold all that he had, when he sold his beautiful chariot with the CD player in it, and he sold it, and you know, and everything that he had, he went and sold everything. Jesus said that he sold everything he had and he went and bought that field. And I read between the lines and think that they must have thought he had lost his mind. But he knew something that they didn't know. The field that he was about to buy had a treasure buried in it. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like that. The kingdom of God is like that. When you find the value of the kingdom of God, when you realize the riches of his grace, the riches of his grace, embrace it, get a hold of it, and don't let it go. Amen. What a value it is to us. Stand with me tonight. Stand with me tonight. Lord, we pray your will be done here in this service, Lord, as we are concluding this final service of Homecoming Day. We need your help, Lord. We need your help. We need your grace. Lord, would you please help us again to understand the value and the importance of your grace in our life, and then cherish it and embrace it. We need you, Lord, now more than ever before. Do you feel that way, church? Do you feel like you need the Lord now just as much, if not more, than ever before? So why then are so many people quitting, giving up, throwing in the towel, going back? Again, walking that balance beam, Jesus told us in Matthew 24 of various signs of the last days. Earthquakes, pestilences, which are diseases. Famines, which are shortages, and on and on. But the one thing that he kept repeating over and over and over, read it for yourself in Matthew 24, be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Don't be deceived. Things are going to be happening, he's telling us, in the last days, where people are going to be discouraged. Some are going to quit. They're going to give up. The devil's going to deceive them and talk them out of this. And I'm just simply trying to recommend to you what I felt like the Lord recommended to me. Embrace grace. You need to look in the meal barrel tonight and see if there's some more. Come on. Come on up here and look. Come on up. You can stand or kneel, but take a look in there and see if there's some more grace to help you right now with whatever it is you're going through. And by the way, since you don't know what tomorrow holds, you might want to grab another handful and put it in your pockets. The pocket of your heart, down in the depth of your soul. God, I need more of you. I need more grace. So glad to see these young people up here at the altar, young ladies, young men. God loves you. He cares about you. That's what Peter said. Cast your cares on him. He cares for you. You're in a battle. There's an enemy. There's a devil. There's things happening in the world. But don't forget, he cares about you. And his grace is sufficient. Embrace it tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Get a hold of some grace, the grace of God.